Welcome to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. We continue our conversations today regarding construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline. It's a $3.8 billion, 1,200-mile pipeline intended to run from North Dakota to Illinois. With us first for these conversations today is Craig Stevens. He's a spokesman for the Midwest Alliance for Infrastructure Now. It's otherwise known as the Maine Coalition. Craig Stevens, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
Thanks for having me again, Lori.
I'm going to let you start this conversation. You've been with us before. What's changed since the last time that we talked?
Sure. So the current place where we are is, so the courts have heard it, and here in Washington, D.C., have heard the tribes' questions about whether the Army Corps of Engineers actually consulted with the tribes when they were laying the final route for the pipeline. And both the Circuit Court and the Court of Appeals have agreed that they have not the tribe has not met the threshold to actually incur an emergency injunction that would stop the construction. Now, the federal government has stepped in and said it will not issue an easement for the area under Lake Oahe, under the Missouri River, until the Army Corps goes back and takes a look at all of the issues that it looked at initially with the with Lake Oahe. But we believe that engineeringly, it is sound, and the Army Corps has actually done everything it needs to do. So we believe and hope that ultimately the easement and the final permit will be issued for construction to move forward under Lake Oahe.
So let's talk about the weather. We're looking in October. How does the weather and changing into fall and winter affect construction or the Army Corps of Engineers work?
That's a great question. And right now, you mentioned that the pipeline itself is about 1,200 miles, and construction is ongoing throughout the four states where there is the pipeline, and recognizing that the weather is coming and that the larger weather will become harsh throughout the Midwest, the engineers believe that they can actually do quite a bit of work underneath the lake. Now, in fact, because it's underground and the way the ground temperatures work, they can actually get down in there and do work right up through the winter. The question is, how long can they go with the above-ground surface area work? And that really is a question, but they feel confident that they can actually finish this on time.
Is there a sense of urgency now at all, or is it just a matter of sort of checking the boxes and moving forward?
Yeah, so there's certainly a sense of urgency in that nobody knows when the government will ultimately issue that final permit for under Lake Oahe. Now that the court has ruled that it will not issue an emergency injunction, the companies can actually move forward with constructing throughout the length of the pipeline right up to Lake Oahe. But there is a sense of urgency simply because nobody knows that timing when that final permit will be or easement will be issued.
So we're hearing that police arrested 14 protesters at three different protest action sites on Saturday. How are these individual protest actions affecting the pipeline workers and the work they're trying to accomplish?
So the workers are number one, frustrated, of course, but also, two, many actually fear for their safety. Not only were there arrests, but there also has been arson over the weekend, destroying at least $2 million worth of equipment there in Iowa. So at different points throughout the pipeline, there has been, I think, considerable unrest and protest that is actually detrimental to not only the project, but also is unsafe because of the damage that is happening to the equipment.
I'm curious about whether or not they're getting paid when their work is shut down. How is this affecting the individual, guy or male or female that goes out there to do their work and there's a protest action, they have to go home for the day? How does that play out?
So it really depends. If they're able to go back quickly and continue the work, then there really isn't any shutdown in the actual operation. But there have been places where the company has issued furloughs because it is unsafe to actually work. So while there are 8,000 workers currently on the pipeline, there have been times when dozens have been furloughed for days or weeks at a time because it simply was unsafe.
So you said there's some fear involved. What are they afraid of? No one has been hurt, is that correct? Pipeline employees, have any of them been injured by a protester?
Yes, there has been anecdotal evidence of some workers being injured. And some of the protesters are throwing rocks and they are damaging equipment and they are, certainly verbal assaulting is going back and forth. And I think that's really an atmosphere for work that nobody wants to endure. So yeah, absolutely. Workers have been, some have been harmed, some have been injured, and you know, many just fear that, you know, in an escalating and emotionally charged situation, that isn't the place where they want to be.
Let's talk about the landowners. Do you have any, and maybe that's not something you can speak to, but haven't found a landowner yet to talk on this program. I'd like to. We continue to reach out. Do you have any contact or know of any concerns that the landowners are having about either the pipeline or the action against it?
Yeah, they certainly share the same concerns as some of these workers that, and that's probably why you haven't heard from many of them. I mean, they throughout the pipeline, they have agreed to the easement. They have allowed the pipeline to be constructed on their property, but many are just keeping their heads down right now because they don't want to be part of this, I think, this debate, this circus that's going on. We're also getting reports of slaughtered cattle. So this is cattle that's been grazing on some of these lands that have been slaughtered by some of these protesters. And I'm not saying that these are the Standing Rock Sioux folks. And I think Chairman Archibald and his tribe are quite earnest and quite concerned about their claims. But, you know, this has grown into more than just one tribe, and it's attracted the attention of a lot of people who aren't even Native Americans. And I think some of those folks have gone a bit rogue.
So to be clear, we don't have any indication that there's been charges for slaughtering cattle. So that's really anecdotal at this point, but something to look into. Is that?
Well, the sheriff has issued a statement as of this afternoon, just before we got on the air in North Dakota, that this was happening.
Have there been any efforts that you're aware of going on now for the pipeline company or its representatives to be in any kind of conversation with the Standing Rock Sioux tribe?
Well, my understanding is that they are in conversation. I don't know if they're actually coming to an agreement on anything. I also recognize that or understand that the Standing Rock Sioux tribe is talking about moving its protest away from the location right now so they can set up permanent locations. Now, right now, they're on federal land where their protest is. Sometimes they are encroaching onto private property, and that's when you get the trespassing charge. But right now, the bulk of their encampment is on federal land. They don't have a permit for it. They do have a permit for it, but they do not have a permit to build permanent structures. So their concern is, as you mentioned with the weather, that they may have to go back to the reservation where they can actually build standing and permanent structures for them to protest throughout the winter. Having said that, like I said, there are conversations between the company and the tribe. I just don't know, you know, how fruitful that will be.
What else do we not understand about this situation? What else are we not hearing enough of?
You know, that's a great question. And I think the one thing that hasn't been talked about, there's a couple things, especially with the water. First of all, when it passes under Lake Oahe, it will be between 90 and 115 feet below the actual water. The pipeline itself will be double walled, so it's extra insulated. It will be monitored 24 hours a day and can be shut down within 3 minutes of any detected leak, and it can detect a leak as small as 1% going through. Additionally, where the tribe is going to get its water is moving about 50 miles south of where it currently is, so it will be ultimately 70 miles south of its current of where the pipeline will cross Lake Oahe. Right now, you know, it's a few miles south, but you know, when the first of the year comes around, they actually will have a new water intake, which will be about 70 miles south of where the pipeline crosses. I think the third thing is that there are already several pipelines across the Missouri River, and it is the safest way to transport crude products that we know, much safer than rail and much safer than by tanker. So, you know, pipelines are here to stay. We depend on them. They transport literally millions of barrels of crude a day safely across this country and ensure that our economy has the fuel that it needs to function.
As you look at social media, and I'm sure you have followed it, and as you hear some of the voices in opposition of the pipeline, many of them are disagreeing with that very sentiment, which is it's time to leave some things in the ground. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think that the tide is starting to turn from public opinion, or not really? Do you think it's just a sort of a blip?
I think that most folks recognize that we want to move to an era where there is less fossil fuel, but also we recognize that we live in the real world where we will be using fossil fuels for the foreseeable future. And we are seeing an uptick in the use of solar and wind. There's always been a challenge with using nuclear energy. And transforming our vehicles to something like to a non-fossil-based fuel has been a challenge. So I think for the foreseeable future, we will be depending on fossil fuels. Now, the big question is, are we going to build fossil fuels from the United States, or are we going to build fossil fuels and be reliant on foreign countries? And I think that's a debate that we're having here in the United States, but in addition to how long we want to be using fossil fuels at all.
When we go back to some of the original conversations about the Dakota Access Pipeline, still coming up in my conversations today with folks is that the original plan was to go near Bismarck, and the popular understanding seems to be that the pipeline was moved from Bismarck so that their water would not be tainted in case of some kind of spill, and it was moved here instead. So one, I want to know if that is accurate, and two, I want to know why not just move it back to its route closer to Bismarck.
Yeah, so that is a question that continues to come up, and I appreciate you bringing it up, Lori. So when the pipeline company was working with the Army Corps of Engineers, I mean, this is a huge, massive infrastructure project. It's been in the works for over 800 days. So as they were first sketching out possible routes, they came up with three or four different possible routes, one of which was the route that took it north of Bismarck. When the Army Corps looked at that, they recognized the topography, the geography, the number of water crossings it would have to have, and also, of course, population. And when taking all that into account, they recognized that a safer route would be not only because of population, but also topography and water crossings. The safe route is the current route, which was the preferred route. So that is a question that continues to come up, but you're right to ask it. However, this final route, this approved route, is the safest and soundest route that was offered.
So what happens next, Craig? Last question there.
Great question. So right now, construction continues. And folks are waiting on the Obama administration to make an ultimate determination as to whether the Army Corps is going to release the final easement, which would go under Lake Oahe. And I believe, and we believe, that as long as this determination is based on the science and on the facts and on the rule of law, that will be issued. Now, if this becomes a political decision, then that really is anybody's guess.
Craig Stevens is a spokesperson for the Midwest Alliance for Infrastructure Now. It's otherwise known as MAINE. MAINE Coalition. Craig, thank you for joining us again. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, Lori.